Blog Talk Radio.
You don't need another political uprising. We don't need another conqueror on the scene. What we need is a special word that will burn within our hearts and give us direction from above. One word from the Lord will move all the doubts and cause the sun to shine and give peace of mind. Speak, Lord. Thy wisdom and thy understanding, though we lack the very love you show in the sun. Lord, we walk today in thy ways, and we stand so much to gain. So give us your word, Lord.
Welcome to Seeing Clearly in Dark Times. This is your program host, Brenda K. Sanders. Well, happy Mother's Day to you. I'm glad that you joined me again for this broadcast. In studying yesterday for the broadcast and earlier today, I said, wow, I'm talking about Hannah, a woman that believed God to be a mother. And I said, it's so appropriate when I began this talking about this passage of Scripture. You know, it's just the timing of God and the timing of the whole thing. I did not realize I had run into Mother's Day. And I mean, this is the, besides Mary and Jesus and Elizabeth and John the Baptist, this is one of the stories that exhibits the dedication of a mother. And let me tell you what I believe about mothers, because you have to have a mother's heart if you're going to have children. And here with Hannah, and I guess I'll get into another scripture before I go there, she had the heart of a mother before she became a mother. She believed to be a mother, and not only just to be a mother, but the mother of a male child. I don't have children. I have a dog. I don't believe I possessed a mother's heart until I got my dog. And I always thought it would be something so difficult until, you have to act it out. And I believe God gave me a heart for my dog after I got him. I mean, I was tempted to sell him or give him away or whatever many times, but after enduring and learning how to take care of him, then I said, no way am I going to give him away. I'm going to, get that heart that I need to get in order to be his mother. And I mean, we have flown on planes together, ridden in cars together, walked together, rode together. And so we have become pals, if that is conceivable to you. But those of you who have pets know what I'm talking about. But anyway, nevertheless, I'm happy that it's Mother's Day because I am talking about Hannah. And let me go to the theme scripture. It is 1 Corinthians 13:12, which says, "For now we are looking in a mirror. It gives only a dim, blurred reflection of reality, as in a riddle or enigma. But then when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face." Let me start right there. When we, I think we do all we can to get to the reality of situations. I do. I just do not like blurred vision. And there's a time where God will darken your vision and you're like, what's going on here? What's happening here? Where's my life going? And then he clears it up. It's like a dream I had one time where I was dreamed that I was sitting in an audience in a stage and the curtains opened. And then I went to this church and I saw the exact curtains and the stage and they opened. And I knew that was the church that I was supposed to be going to at that time. But he will clarify the pathway that we're to take. But in the interim, there is something I don't like either, but it is part of the journey, and that is the riddle or enigma. You say, why would God give us a riddle or enigma? I believe it is just to heighten our awareness about situations. It gives us a hint about situations. And, it's just believing God to get to, like a maze, believing God to get to the end of the maze. But he does give us a little hint along the way. And so seeing in that clear glass is the goal. It's getting out of that darkness, the dark glass, and getting into clarity and fullness. But anyway, let me go on with the scripture. It says, now I know in part, imperfectly. You see, we're still dealing with this, wait, what's going on here? Uh-oh, Lord, I need to know what this is about. And it says, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly. Oh, Lord, yes, even in the same manner as I've been fully and clearly known and understood by God. So, like I say every broadcast, it's a, process to see clearly. A lot of times, I always talk about the prophet because he has his conference calls where he prays with everybody and prophesies, and yet he always tells me, my prophetic word is always, I'm going to clear up your confusion. And I guess that's the riddle or enigma for me. And God does it. He does do it. It may take a while, but he'll then use our spiritual senses to guide our, guide our journey, where we'll have clear vision and know exactly what our pathways are. But until that happens, it's always very, very frustrating. Well, getting back to Hannah here, I always say this, you know, people tend, this is a motivational outreach broadcast. I started this broadcast to motivate and exhort others because I know my pathways have been, oh my goodness, so twisted up and down and all around. And, you know, I remember going to Cedar Point up there in Ohio, Sandusky, and, you know, I got on that ride, and this was like not too long ago, but I wasn't a teenager or anything. I was, I'll say this, I was 40 when I did it. And I, you know, I don't know, sort of midlife crisis or something, got on that corkscrew, and I mean, it was the wildest ride ever. And then I got on it again. I said, I have to feel that feeling again. I ride it on that corkscrew. And the whole time I spent at Cedar Point, at that point, I rode the corkscrew. And nothing but because, I don't know, it was a wild ride, but it was fun. It was sensational. And that's how things go. So I'm used to things like that. But it felt more like what my life has been like. But here with Hannah, as she believed God for this child. And I don't know what, you know, people believe for different things. And if you're a believer, I believe God causes you to believe for everything. It's nothing that we take for granted, and that's a gift. Because if we do not take things for granted, we use our faith, we focus on what God wants us to focus on. And then when we receive the answers to our prayers, it's just like treasure that comes when the answer to the prayer is made. Here, Hannah believed God for a male child. Now, what would cause her to believe God for a male child? She wasn't in any kind of monarchy at that point, but maybe she was. There was a hint that maybe she was, and so that's why she was believing God for a male child. Certainly, Elkanah had already had some children by Peninnah, but none of them were heirs, none of those male children, because he had sons. He says, yo, sons and daughters. You know, but he didn't claim them, but yeah, Hannah's son, that she was to bear, Samuel, actually was in line to inherit this position. He was a priest, a prophet, and judge. And this is like I always say, this is a historical account in this Bible about what took place. And so you can go to wherever it is, Shiloh. Well, let's see, where it's from. The country of Ephraim and Ramatham Sophim. This was a real story here. So this is something that she really had to believe God. There was an account somewhere preserved, and then bore this heir to the monarchy in this country. But it certainly had some significant impact as Samuel, if you remember, was the prophet that he advised. So he was used mightily as a judge and a counselor to kings and other priests. He ministered to King Saul as well as David. And so he was really, really instrumental and really influential in their lives. Well, let me tell you what his mother went through. A lot of times I'm starting to see that in a common theme in the lives of believers and in the lives of those that are used of God for great things, and that is that they have a lot of tests and trials to go through. Same thing with Hannah. She endured this persecution from Peninnah. And I went through that in the other broadcast. But one thing I wanted to focus on today in this broadcast is this. She, and that is the powerful influence of the heart, the spiritual heart, on our thoughts and on our prayers. And what I want to show today is that Hannah vowed with her heart. She prayed and she vowed with her heart. When she was in the temple with the priest Eli, she did not open her mouth. She moved her lips. Let me go back to verse 11. Since she vowed, saying, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your handmaid and earnestly remember and not forget your handmaid, but will give me a son, I will give him to the Lord all his life. No razor shall touch his head. Going down to verse 13, she says Hannah was speaking in her heart. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. See, her heart was doing all the work here. She prayed, and she didn't open her mouth. She vowed, and she did not open her mouth. It says that her heart was speaking, and so her heart did all the work. In verse 10 it says, and Hannah was in distress of soul, praying to the Lord and weeping bitterly. But she never opened her mouth. Her lips moved. And so her heart was influencing her spirit. It was also her soul was distressed. It was not the heart realm. It was the soul realm. But she had felt strong enough in her heart. And let me tell you how that happens. How do you get something in your heart? You begin to plant seeds in your heart where what you see or study or talk about, it influences your heart. And then what goes in your heart that you talk about or whatever you focus on a daily basis, it comes out in some way. So it's regurgitated right back out, and that's how pretty much most of your heart is revealed. You ever heard that saying, you know, your heart is on, they wear their heart on their sleeve. You know, what's on your sleeve? Because they're talking or maybe engaging in actions or activities that's revealing what their heart is. And so that's how we influence our heart, and then our heart influences us. But you pray very specific prayers for a son. And maybe, you know, this was the sense that God wanted a male heir so that he could inherit the monarchy or be influential in it. Let me tell you something. I haven't, since I've lost my other Bible, I don't have the history about it, but she definitely was groomed to bear a son of this magnitude, and she was committed to it. That was another thing, and that's one of my points I want to share. She believed God until it happened, it was fulfilled. It looked difficult. It did not look like it was going to happen. She had persecutors and, you know, adjutants that grieved her. Thank God her husband was very loving and understanding, because that's where I bet their love really bloomed, because she was disgraced. And he had another woman right there. But if she was disgraced and he stuck with her, that's the way it was with Joseph and Mary, by the way. I mean, hello, you're not going to have a baby and I haven't touched you. What's going on here? But God has to touch his heart. He touched his heart with Joseph, and that caused him to adhere to and cling to his wife, Mary. So, you know, there are a lot of supernatural events going on as these other miracles are taking place. God is fixing and answering those riddles and enigmas along the way. Because Mary says, wait a minute here. They're going to think I'm, a loose or something. I'm pregnant, and I've not known a man. Okay, I ain't going there. I ain't going there today. But anyway, this is what I want to say. When we pray, we are to believe until it happens. And negative events do happen and ensue after we pray. It looks like, you know, the devil's still standing there looking at your words and ready to throw those wiles at you as you walk. And And then God has to clear up the vision. You know, it's not uncommon. I mean, like I said, you may not be believing for a child. You may be believing for a job. You may be believing for healing or financial blessing, a spouse. I mean, you can. I'm about to, I think, embark on another school career. I never thought I would. I said I always would not. But I'm believing God for that. You know, I want to really learn some things. And I said I'd never go back to school. I spent a whole lot of my life in school. But it happens, okay? But when I get there, I want to be blessed. I want to learn all that I can learn and then be proficient in what I want to do. Here, Hannah impressed me because this is the thing that I was impressed about with Hannah. She believed before it happened. She believed in the midst of a lot of adversity. She believed, even though it had been a long time, that's like Abraham, you know, and Sarah and Isaac. But she believed, even though time can erode your faith, the more time that goes by, it can tend to erode your faith. Here, she had been through all three. But what I did like is that she, when the promise was fulfilled, it says here in verse 20 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, Hannah became pregnant and in due time bore a son and named him Samuel, heard of God. And I looked at that. Samuel's name means heard of God. And I think I went into it on some other broadcast about the meaning of the name and how significant it can be. But heard of God or hearing from God. But in any event, he was a prophet. He heard from God. Saul even sought him in the grave, inviting him to come back and prophesy to him. It says, Hannah became pregnant and in due time bore a son and named him Samuel, heard of God. That's what it says there. Because she said, I have asked him of the Lord. And Hannah fulfilled her vow. I'm going to commit him to the Lord. In she starts at verse 22 through the end of the chapter. She says she was supposed to go back up to the temple to offer sacrifices. And she says, Hannah, in verse 22, but Hannah did not go. For she said to her husband, I will not go until the child is weaned, and then I will bring him, and he may appear before the Lord and remain there as long as he lives. So Hannah, I'm going to verse 23, going a little bit a little faster. So Hannah remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. Now, one thing I did find out in the research here was that she had women that were in the temple trained to take care of a child or at home, but those women were available. But she chose to do it herself. She was determined to commit him to the Lord. That was a vow that she made before she even became pregnant. And so she was faithful with her vow. She was faithful to the Lord. 24 says, and brought, at the end of 24, and brought Samuel to the Lord's house in Shiloh. The child was growing. And in verse 26, it says, Hannah said, oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you. Hear, pray to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition, made it to him. Therefore, I have given him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord. And they worship the Lord there. And one thing I want to say about that is that God's promises are sure, yes. He wants us to be obedient until we fulfill the total, he fulfills the total promise that he has made. Now, I don't see here, well, the priest did pronounce that she was going to be blessed. The priest, he did. He said in verse 17, then Eli said, go in peace. And may the God of Israel grant your petition, which you have asked of him. Hannah said, let your handmaid find grace in your sight. So she went her way and ate, her countenance no longer sad. So apparently she believed the word of the prophet the priest, and she believed from that point on. The fulfillment did not end when she got pregnant. The fulfillment ended, actually, when he was committed to the priest and was committed to the priesthood as long as he lived. And I thank God for that kind of faith, because why? It is significant that, you know, a lot of people get their, you know, something they've asked for from God, and then they abandon God. And really, it's kind of an insincere desire for something that God didn't give you, or God didn't really want you to have, or something. But there's no need to abandon God when you get something. A lot of people do that, and she did not. Once she became pregnant, bore her son, she finished the rest of the promise, the vow. She finished the rest of the vow. She even increased her attention to her child, which she could have given him to others to raise. She was insistent that the total prayer be fulfilled. And therefore, God honored her faith, and here he was. He became the priest, the judge, and the prophet, speaking and walking among the kings of Israel. Yes. And so that is God's reward when we obey what he has called us to do. Well, let me say this before I end the broadcast. A few notes I did make. Remain faithful. Don't abandon God before the promise is totally fulfilled, because God has a whole program. He's going to send you through some things. He's going to cause you to be in the dark glass and then cause you to recover and see clearly. And that's what happened to Hannah. She knew what she wanted. I told you that last week. She particularly prayed for a male child, and God did honor her faith. I remember one time I was out without a vehicle, and I saw a car on a big billboard, and it was a red car. And I wanted that car. I really did. And then I looked at it in a magazine, and I took a picture of this same car, a red car out of a magazine, and I traveled around with that car on the bus, on the bus, for months. I carried it in my purse, and when I had really saved up for the car, finally I went on the lot and bought this new car, and it just so happened, the salesman didn't even know anything about me. I didn't say anything about what kind of car. First of all, I didn't know what I could afford. But he took me out to the parking lot, and the first thing he pointed to was this exact same red car. Now, quickly, before I end the broadcast, guess what happened before then? I went to about 3 or 4 other dealerships. I went to a Ford dealership. The car I wanted was a Pontiac. Ford dealership, I went to another used car dealership, you know how that is. And I went to so many dealerships, a Lincoln dealership, where those other places that I went, nothing but disaster. In fact, one dealership I walked in to be about purchasing a car, and guess what happened? All the lights went out. I mean, total blackout. And I'm saying, what has happened? I walk in here to buy a car, and the lights go out. What's up with that? But, see, God's plan. I had to get to where he wanted me to be. I got to the place that he showed me, that red car, that Pontiac. Let me tell you, you can't believe God for a red Pontiac, and you at the Ford dealership trying to buy a black one. It's not going to happen. And so that's why I say believe God until it happens. And that's what Hannah did. She really did. She endured the persecution of Penina. She endured some mud. Mud is harder to deal with than dirt. But let me just tell you why. Drive your car through mud and then drive your car through dirt. It was worse. Mud is worse. She saw her son and immediately committed him to the things of God. And the fruit developed from there, and she did not forsake God after she got the answer, received the answer to her prayer. Thank goodness. And I'm glad she did not, because history was in the making as she obeyed God. And that's what you and I want to do. We want to obey God, and we want to see the fulfillment of his promises for us. Let me go into the text. The verbal expression, Hannah decided to give a verbal expression to her spiritual heart. Only God could hear her spiritual heart. And mankind could not hear the voice, the verbal expression of her spiritual heart. Because remember, Eli said, well, I just saw her lips move. You know, who knows? But eventually, he learned what she was praying about. And the final tag, if you can believe what you are promised, what you're praying for, then you can receive it. And it is sometimes an extended journey, but nevertheless, a promising journey. All right, I'd like to thank you for tuning into the broadcast today, this Mother's Day. I would like to wish you a happy Mother's Day if I didn't do it already. I think I did. You may go to the link at blogtalkradio.com/Brenda K. Sanders to listen to an archive broadcast of this episode. You can email me at seeingclearlyinthedark@gmail.com. If you have any prayer requests, questions, I see I had a caller earlier. You can definitely.
If you know how to pray the situation out, prayer is the answer. There is no doubt. Folks together for some church, y'all. Some good music and prayer and service won't hurt y'all. Even if you don't believe in the preacher, it's bound to be a few things he can teach you.
Man ought to always pray and not faint. I dare you to get out. up on your feet and say, to somebody and you don't know what they've been going through, but when I think about the goodness of Jesus, woo, I'm about to have church right by myself. Is that all right? I want you to lift your voice and talk to the person.